We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 18. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the Word of God. Please be seated. Now, in our review, if you remember, Paul's emphasis in chapter 4, is that the gospel is available to all people, but it is veiled. It is veiled. There's a veil over the eyes of humanity. So we wanted to remember that. And remember that the one that causes the veiling is Satan. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. So every human has a veil over their face. They cannot see the glory of God. A miracle has to take place. God is always the initiator. He is always the one that brings light into darkness. He is always the one that takes the first step with humanity. God illuminates. In verse 6 last week, we saw this, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. God shines in the hearts of each person to give them light so they can see and the veil can be removed. The issue is will you allow that light to penetrate? Will you allow that light to take the veil off so that you can turn to the Lord Jesus? That's the main thing that you want to think about. That's what we went through last week. Hebrews 10:32 says this, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, the light came into you, you endured. You were given the light to believe. Now think about this. Think about this. God gives you the light to believe. But you didn't have anything to do with this, folks. It is always a work of God. Remember John 6:44. Father draws. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. It is always a work of God that initiates the action in humans. The Holy Spirit convicts of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So he is at work in the heart of the human being, drawing people to God. It is always a work of God that initiates this. In 2 Corinthians 3:16, we read this. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, how does this all work? God illuminates. God allows someone to see the truth of who he is. Then the human, seeing who Jesus really is, that he is the Messiah of Israel, he is the Savior of the world, he has the responsibility then to believe and receive the gift of eternal life. Believe that Jesus is who he said he was and receive the gift of eternal life. That's how the program works, as best as I can tell by Scripture. Now, the important thing is that those who are illuminated, those who respond to the light that they have been given, those who turn to the Lord Jesus, repent and believe, Paul strongly encourages last week. Now remember this. Listen to these words. Therefore, since we have had this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now you remember how strong that word was? There was a Greek word. Remember, it meant cowardness, quitting, being put off into pasture someplace. Those are strong words. And that is the admonition that God gives his people. Don't quit. Now, well, the problem is that we are in life, aren't we? Stuff happens. Bad things happen. Bad things happen in the church. People get discouraged. People get cast off to the side. I'm sick of this. I'm not doing this anymore. This isn't working for me. And that is exactly where the enemy wants you. Believe me, God has a place for you. But whatever that place is, just put it right down into your minds. It will not be perfect. Why won't it be perfect? Because you're there. There's humans that are there. There's always issues with humans. And you have to work through your issues, folks. God has called you to a place that is where he expects you to serve, and it's not going to be perfect. That's just the way it is. So he illuminates. Don't give up. Don't be sidelined. Don't be out of the action. Now, this week, Paul emphasizes persevering through it all. And it can only occur if we have an eternal perspective. There's too much that happens on the horizontal. There's too much stuff that happens here. And we can't make it just having a positive attitude. We have to focus on the vertical. We have to focus on the Lord Jesus. We have to focus on our eternal destiny. That's what we have to focus on. Now, with that, we're going to enter into our teaching for today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is truth. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will bring light to the darkness into our lives. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We need a visitation from you. Each one of us needs to be touched by you. I ask that you do that today, God, in the hearts of this group of people. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read the verse, I want to read you something from Chuck Swindoll that has to go with this. Listen to what he says. There's a great story about an enthusiastic preacher and his congregation. One Sunday morning during a rousing sermon, the preacher shouted, "This church, like the crippled man, has got to get up and walk." The congregation, hanging on every word, shouted back, "That's right, Reverend, let it walk. Let it walk." The preacher continued fervently, mounting, the fervency is mounting. "This church, like Elijah on Mount Carmel, has got to run." And the congregation responds, "Preach it, preacher, it's got to run, it's got to run." And the reverend went on, "This church has got to mount up with wings like eagles and fly." And the congregation just bellows out, "Let it fly, pastor, let it fly." And then the pastor leaned forward in the pulpit. "Now, if this church is going to fly, people, it's going to take money." The congregation sat back and said, "Let it walk, preacher. Let it walk." I love that. When it comes to the Christian walk, listen to the argument, most of us are pretty enthusiastic until it gets uncomfortable, until it costs too much financially, socially, or personally. And I will say to that, to Chuck's statement, may God give you the spirit of endurance. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, we see these words, "You therefore must endure hardship." You hear that word? "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You're in an army, folks. You're in an army, and it's a war. And you are involved in it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. You are in Jesus' army, and there is a war that's going on. There's an enemy out there to face. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I'll tell you, this is what Paul did. Let's look at our verses 8 and 9. "We are hard-pressed on every side." Now listen to this struggle. "Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Hard words, aren't they? This doesn't look like the picnic time that we see in Christendom today. This is words that are of truth that Paul has experienced and he's speaking to us today. Hard pressed. You know what that means? Squeezed, pressured, troubled. That's the Greek word for it. Squeezed, pressured, troubled. Now, what's your story? Everyone comes in here hard pressed at some point, feeling the squeeze of life. Multiple different venues that this can happen in. We're all humans going to different places at different times, experiencing different things. And we are all squeezed to some extent, hard-pressed. But folks, those who have been illuminated, like the Apostle Paul, are not crushed. Now, you've been hard-pressed, but if you're walking with the Lord Jesus, you will not be crushed. And I'll tell you, that means kept in a narrow, cramped, can't you just, anybody claustrophobic? Narrow, cramped space, trapped, can't get out of this. Crushed. There has been, and there always will be pressure that seems to crush us. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says this. I don't know if you remember this from a ways back. But 2 Corinthians says this. Paul, the apostle, said, "Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us?" Who delivered us in the past? The Lord Jesus. Who's delivering me presently? The Lord Jesus. Who's going to deliver me in the future? My God will deliver me in every situation. I might be crushed, I might be pressured, I might have issues that are going on in my life, but I'm going to be able to make it through because of the Lord Jesus. It's just that simple. You can't do it on your own. God will deliver you, perplexed but not in despair. That perplexed means the feeling of what is going on now. Ever feel that one? I can't believe this. What is happening to me now? Perplexed but not in despair, not in having no confidence or no assurance in God. That's what that word speaks of. Now, why am I not in despair? Because it is God who gives us hope, folks. It is God who gives us hope. It is God who gives us confidence. It is God who will show you the way. Even when I am perplexed and I say, what in the world is going on now? And I know that I know that I know that I can turn to God and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it, because he already knows how you feel, so you might as well just tell him the truth. I don't like it, but I'm going to trust you through it. Now, Paul goes on to say, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed, or died. This was Paul's life. And Paul would go where no Christian had gone before. He started new churches in new movements. And it seems extreme, doesn't it? Doesn't these words seem extreme? It seems unreal. And don't you have the feeling of who wants that? If that's what Christian, who wants that? It might have been good for Paul, but man, that's not good for me. Now, you won't turn into most TV stations and hear this. Okay? You will hear this with the voice of the martyrs. You will hear this in the church in China. You will hear it in the church of Iran. But you won't hear it very often in the church of America because it's not popular. But it is the truth. The American Christianity, suffering is a foreign concept. Isn't Jesus supposed to do this? Now think about the church. Think about American Christianity. Isn't Jesus supposed to be fun, fun, fun? Happy, 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 happy. Gimme, 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 gimme. They were like little birds. Fee, 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 you know. Aren't we supposed to be wealthy, 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 wealthy? All that stuff. Easy, easy. Americans have a spirit of quitting. Listen to what I'm saying here. People quit their jobs because it's a little too hard. The boss isn't quite nice. Did you see how they treated me today? And they quit their jobs. People will drop out of school. People will drop out of school. Class was a little too hard, a little too uncomfortable. People will quit in their marriages. Isn't that sad? And in Christendom, it's the same percentage as a non-Christian. People will quit. People quit their diets. That speak to anybody? Anybody been down that road? People quit their exercise. All you have to do on January 2nd is go to the health club. The place is packed, man. They got your elliptical, and some guy's on your elliptical has never been there before, and you know he's not going to be there 2 weeks from now, but he's plugging up your spot. Because you know, yeah, this is personal. People quit the team. People quit the team because I didn't get treated right on the team. And now, folks, people quit the church and people quit God. And isn't that a tragedy? Because it didn't quite work out. Hey, once you start to quit in life, once you start to quit, it gets easier the next time to quit. And easier the next time to quit. Let me tell you, I had no intention of talking about this, but you're going to get it anyway. I was taking some classes, some education classes, because when I was at Harper, I was an instructor in anesthesia, and they wanted you to have a teaching degree in order to instruct. Well, so then I said, okay, well, I guess I'll do that. And I went to we went to this course, and we had to go to Kansas, and it was a you went through the mail and that whole thing. But anyway, the guy laid these books on us. I'm telling you, he brought this stack of books and he laid it on the table like this. And we looked at those and half the class just walked right out. We're looking at that. I'm looking at that. This guy I'm with, we thought this was going to be easy. I mean, we wanted something easy. That's the whole program of my life, easy. And we saw that, and then we got into it. And my buddy, he dropped out. Most of the other people dropped out. But I had this thing that I can't quit. I can't give up on this. So I just plugged away. Finally, I made it through it. But I had the spirit of not giving up because I figured with my personality that if I was to quit this, it would be easy for me to quit other things. And I always had this attitude that, you know, winners don't quit. Even though it's hard, even though you're not treated fairly, if you haven't learned yet, life isn't fair. It's not going to be fair. You plug on. Because, you know, winners don't quit. Winners don't quit. They press on. Think about this. Sometimes we get a taste of the kingdom here. I mean, Jesus can be fun. You can have mountaintop experience with the Lord. I want to bring balance to this. When you're in the family of God, there's nothing like a walk with the Lord Jesus. It is the greatest life that you can possibly have. And you can have these great experiences with God, but every now and then, the kingdom of God marches headlong into the kingdom of darkness. And there is trouble. Did you know today that there are more Christian martyrs than at any time in history? Did you know that? We don't hear about it here. We're insulated, isolated. Somebody says something in church and you get your feelings hurt and you're ready to quit. These people are giving their lives. They're giving their lives for this. It's estimated that 70 million martyrs, Christian martyrs, from the time of Christ until now. In the 20th century, there were 40 million martyred for the Lord Jesus. And it's increasing now. It's increasing now. The voice of the martyrs has this to say. Let me give you a few examples. In the Philippines, a Christian village is attacked. 70 armed Muslim men go into a Christian village and just start randomly attacking. And Christians, because the only thing that they did is that they're Christian. In Iran, a believer is sentenced to 10 years in prison. Why? Because he converted to Christianity. And this is what his crime was. He was part of an anti-security organization gathering information with the intent to commit crimes against Iran's national security. Every Christian that gets arrested in Iran gets labeled with that. In Indonesia, an evangelist is jailed for 3 years. Two of them, because they were witnessing to Muslims. Okay? In India, they passed an amendment. Listen to this. In the Indian state of, and I can't pronounce the state, it's some Indian name, they have to sign in. If you plan to convert from Hinduism to Christianity, you have to sign up with the government. And then you have to wait a period of time. And then you have to be given the clearance in order to sign up. And if you breach any of these things, you can have a 3 to 4 year prison term. That's for converting to Christianity. This isn't somebody hurt my feelings, folks. This isn't something that is really inane like we experience here and then fall off to the side. In Vietnam, a recent convert was tortured and imprisoned. He was pressured by village authorities to recant his faith, and when he wouldn't recant his faith, listen to this. He could not live in the village. He could not purchase food, clothing, or candles from the village as long as he continued in his beliefs. Do you see the suffering that people go through for the Lord Jesus? In Iran, an imprisoned pastor, this guy's a Calvary Chapel pastor. His name is Saeed Abedini. Saeed, Pastor Saeed. We've been praying for this guy. He's been in prison for over 300 days at the writing of this. It's been more than that. And has finally received medical treatment. Why? Because he's a Christian. Because he's a Christian. And it goes on. In Iran, 8 Christians are imprisoned for 6 years, guilty of trying to convert Muslims to Christianity, with the same sentence of being a national security risk. In Nigeria, 6 Christians are killed. You get it. The assailants were Muslims. In Uganda, listen to this one. It's a little different. A teenager who was abused because of her Christian faith began in a new school term. Susan suffered permanent damage to her legs as a result of being kept in a tiny room for 3 months by her father. By her father. The list goes on and on and on. If you're going to be a Christian today throughout the world, it could cost you your life. Not hurt feelings, not a little bit of discomfort because, I have to get up at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Yeah, persecution will come. Now, what is common to all of these? Hinduism, Islam, and communism are the three pillars of overt Christian persecution. Now, why has America not experienced this? Well, because we've been built on Judeo-Christian ethics. God has blessed America because we have followed God. Now, what have we done with God in the last 50 years in America? We drop-kicked Jesus, didn't we? Drop-kicked Jesus through the goalposts of life? Well, that's what we did in America. And we kicked him out of our schools. We kicked him out of classes. We kicked him out of our government. We took prayer. We took the Ten Commandments out. And we drop-kicked Jesus out of our culture. And the culture is imploding before our eyes. We have kids killing kids with Uzis in school. That didn't happen before. This is all because Jesus is out of the culture. And you see people on the news, and they go, what is going on? What is going on? And I'm going at the TV. I'm yelling at the TV. What do you mean, what is going on? You took Jesus out of the culture. What do you mean, what is going on? It's as clear as day. But what are they? They're veiled and cannot see the real answer. So we put programs into effect. We put gun control into effect. We put all these little patches on it. And the real thing that needs to happen is revival from coast to coast, north to south in America. Well, America has been insulated. America has been isolated. Jesus has been kicked out. You know what the problem is? Today in America, the kids that are 18 and under, you know how many of those are real followers of the Lord Jesus? About 5%. We've become just like England. England used to be the sun never went down on the British Empire. Now the sun hardly comes up on that little island. It's they don't have the influence they had before. Why? Why? They kicked God out a long time ago. And what is happening to America today? We've kicked God out. Get ready, folks. Get ready for the persecution and the change. Persecution, again, has three phases. Number one is disinformation. Christians are maligned. Christians are the problem. You're the problem with all the stuff that's going on. Discrimination. You're intolerant and you are bigots because you're narrow in your scope. And then finally, the third stage is persecution, overt persecution of Christianity. Now, this makes what Paul says in verses 10 and 12 very relevant. Very relevant. Let's read. Verse 10. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. The spirit of endurance, listen, the spirit of endurance will persevere to the end. If we are called to face death for our faith, we have to realize, so be it. So be it. Easy words to say, aren't they? Hard to live out. Hard to live out. Now, how do those words resonate with you? If we have to be persecuted for our death, so be it. How does that resonate with you? A little queasy? A little uneasy with that statement? Well, join the club. That's not an easy thing to accept. But there is a reality. Now, how did the disciples die? Let me show you how they died. Now, you've been through this before. We've discussed this before. But according to Flavius Josephus and Eusebius and others, they died this way. Now, remember, Jesus said that that they would take this message into the world. And they did. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Matthew was slain with a halberd similar to an axe. He got axed in Ethiopia, spreading the word. Mark died in Alexandria, northern Egypt, after being cruelly dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hung upon an olive tree in Greece. James was beheaded in Jerusalem. Philip was hung up against a pillar in the city of Hierapolis and stoned to death. Bartholomew was flayed alive. How'd you like that one? Flayed alive. It's like skinning the deer and pulling. You know, how'd you like that? No recanting. No recanting by any of these guys. Believing Jesus to the death. No recanting. Andrew was bound to a cross and left to die. Barnabas was stoned to death. Paul, after a variety of floggings and tortures and persecutions, was beheaded in Rome. Thomas was run through with a lance in southeast India. And Peter was crucified, just like Jesus said in John 21, upside down in Rome. Now, this is not your best life now, is it? No, this is your best life future. This isn't happy, 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 happy. This isn't wealthy, 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 wealthy. But I'll tell you what these guys had was joy, joy, joy in spite of what they went through. That's what they had. Look, at you cannot endure without the power of God in you. You need the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit like no other time. The Holy Spirit is released in you. And when Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, always, always." You know what that means to me? That means to me always. In the Greek, it's always, isn't it? Always. Yeah, it means in the heights of life, when things are wonderful. I've just graduated. I've got my job. I'm making lots of money. Money, I like the money. Show me the money. And then even in the pits, He is with me always. He is with me when the things aren't good. He's with me when the things are good. My Jesus is with me always. God, listen to this as a principle. You wonder how you're going to endure something like that? How will you do it? God gives you the strength at the time. You cannot stand up and say, "Well, I can do that. Peter did it. I can do it. Hang me upside down. Watch me. I'm a hero." No. At that moment, God gives you the strength. It's not you, it's Him. It's not you, it's Him. The spirit of endurance, your enduring rests on the promises of God. Your enduring rests on the promises of God. Verse 13 and 14. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke.' We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." That's a promise. I believed, thus I spoke. You hear that? I believed and thus I spoke. No matter what the opposition is, I believed and yet I spoke. Speak out words that represent your faith in the Lord Jesus. Speak out words of faith. Get a spirit of faith. I believe God. Now listen to this. If we walk in defeat, if we walk in frustration, sadness, we will faint. Hang on to the promises of God. He has plastered it through Scripture. Hang on to the promises of God. Things aren't always going to be, like I said, we're living. You guys all know we're living here. It's not easy. We've established that. Matthew 28:20 is the verse again. He is with us always. "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Romans 8:28. Now, this is a favorite verse of everybody. All things work for good. We know all things work for good. Well, there's some qualifiers in here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called. Now, listen to this. According to His purpose. It's not your purpose. When you were born again into the family of God, you took a trip. I don't know where you went, but you are not in the program anymore. God is the focus. You are in the background. Your desires, your whole goal is sublimated, put down, and the Lord Jesus is the one that is elevated, and we follow His will and His way. Now, what does that mean? That means I do what He tells me to do, not what I want to do. Is there a little tension there? Lord, I'd like to go over here. I really would like. Oh, I want you over here. Well, I don't want to go there. I got to want you over here. But, well, no. He owns us. We've been bought with a price. We go his way, not our way. That's the way that it works. You are of God, little children, 1 John 4:4, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, let's say that again. Who's greater? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Well, who is in you? Jesus, the Spirit of the living, the triune God, actually, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Usually we say the Holy Spirit is resident within. We have the power of God in us that what happens? That we can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine according to what? According to me? No, according to the power that is at work within me. That's why I can do it. I can be an overcomer. I can be an overcomer. The promise is this. The promise is this in verse 14. That he will keep you through it all, no matter what you're going through, it's temporary. Now remember that. Tough marriage, temporary. Tough job situation, temporary. Tough schools, temporary. Tough illness, temporary. What if it lasts 30 years? Temporary. Because in eternity, this is a little blip of time, it's going to be nothing. And we are called to be faithful to him in whatever situation. Johnny Erickson Tata, temporary. 40 years plus or abouts in a wheelchair. Neck down, temporary. Try that. And yet her faith is strong. And her husband's faith is strong. When you look at that whole program, she has to be turned every 2 hours at night. And her husband gets up and turns her every 2 hours so she doesn't get bed sores. Temporary. He looks at it as temporary. She looks at it as temporary. Temporary. It's all temporary. Jesus will take us home soon. That's the promise. Folks, this is our time of testing. And our time of testing will end one day. And we will be in Father's house. And he will say, welcome home. Welcome home. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be like hip, hip, hooray. When I get there, it's not going to be, oh, I'm home. It's going to be, I'm home. Home. And how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. And you were there. Oh, you made it. Oh, I can't believe it. You're here. You know, let's face it, we're going to be doing a little of that. They might reflect back to you, I'm surprised you're here too. So, look at verse 15. The goal through it all is that God is glorified. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. God gets the glory. God gets the glory in everything that we do. He gets the honor. He gets the renown in all of our lives. The goal of all of Christians is that God is glorified. It's the reason that we have life and breath and all things. It is that God is glorified. Light and momentary. God glorified. God glorified. Verse 16 and 17, the spirit of endurance will keep it all in perspective. Keep this thing in perspective, folks. Verse 16 and 17, therefore we do not lose heart. Same word, we're not going to become cowards as in 4:1. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, is rotting, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is it. For our light affliction, light, whatever we go through in the eyes of eternity is light, which is but for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You're going to experience, you make it through this thing, you won't believe what is awaiting you. Particularly those who have had it more difficult. An eternal weight of glory for those who have been afflicted. Afflicted. The spirit of endurance. No losing heart. No quitting. No, you're persevering through this whole thing. Even though I'm rotting, guess what? You're rotting. Did you notice that? I'm rotting. The reality is our inward man is growing stronger. I hope that's the case with you. You might be losing the ability to do certain things. As we grow older, they just drop off. Oh, I can't do that anymore. Well, that dropped off. Well, what can I do now? I can't even do the elliptical anymore. It hurts my hip. I don't know what I can do. Well, and I get to walk with Chris. It's a blessing. We get to walk together. It's a blessing. That's right. Inward man, we're growing stronger. Remember, the flesh dies hard. You ever watch somebody die? The flesh dies hard. It'll fight, it'll cling to hold on. And the flesh also, as far as in the spirit realm, between a spirit man and a fleshly man, the flesh will not give you up easily. You're born again of the spirit, but you are going to have a continual battle with Mr. or Mrs. Flesh until you die. That's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. There's going to be this constant yin and yang in your life. Am I going to go this way or am I going to go that way? Hey, you walk in the Word, you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's that simple. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's not stuttering. That's not saying, well, if I... You know, it's not whimpering and, oh, I can't do this. Oh. No, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is walking in the Spirit? That I'm in God's Word, I'm in prayer, I'm in fellowship, I'm doing what He says for me to do. I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Will I be tempted? Well, of course I'm going to be tempted. The demonic realm's not going to give up on you. Demonic realm wants you to stumble and fall and have you off to the side, useless. That's what he wants. That's what Satan wants. Our inward man is growing stronger, stronger. Our light afflictions. Now, you ever hear this one? But you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I just reflect that right back. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, you can't tell. You know, we can go back and forth on that forever. You don't know how bad this hurts. You don't know how it feels. Anything we endure on this side is light and momentary. There's a reality check. This will end, and it will not be remembered. Now, we've been to this verse before. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Hopefully you have a crease there in your Bible because you've turned there so many times. Isaiah 65, 17. Now, the Old Testament prophets would blend together the millennial reign and the eternal reign. And this is blending those two reigns together. Isaiah says this about a new creation. Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And by the way, a new you is going to be going into that realm. You're not taking this person into that realm, okay? You're taking the new you. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Isn't that a relief? Now that should be, hopefully you've underlined that, starred it, you know, put big ink marks around it, and that sort of thing. Because that's going to help you when you start to tremble and tribulate over people who have been left who have not believed. That's between them and God. Once we leave here, our job is done. We'll be in heaven with God, having another assignment. There's going to be assignments for eternity, folks. And we won't have a recollection of this and sadness. Not going to be tears in heaven after the eternal realm. So. Now, that's fine for eternity, but what about now, Rick? Well, verse 18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, you've got to have an eternal perspective for now. I must keep an eternal perspective. The coming world must be our focus. This has to be our passion. Now, thoughts to keep you, to keep in mind to help you. Thoughts to keep in mind to help you. Now, first of all, the Chinese church calls this time that we're in now the kingdom of preparation. They're being refined for heaven. And they call, when they get there, the kingdom of inheritance. You keep these thoughts in mind to help you on this journey. Psalm 50:15 says this, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. You have the right to call upon the omnipotent God all-powerful God to intervene in your situation. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Trust God. Call upon him. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. You will not lose heart. God will give you the strength to make it through. Isaiah 41:10. He says this. Now, sometimes the light afflictions cause you to fear, don't they? They do. I mean, we have to be, there's a reality here. We go in and out of that. I'm strong, I'm weak. I'm strong, I'm weak. Well, keep this in mind. This word, 41:10, Isaiah 41:10 says this. So, do not fear. Is there any question about what we're supposed to do? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is the focus. Do not fear. Do not fear. And finally, Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, again says, fear not. Now, I think we waste a lot of time in fear. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. You won't be drowned by the issues of life. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am with you through the torments of life, through the torrents of rushing water, through the fires of life. I am with you. You are my child. I love you. I am with you through this whole thing. I am with you. Keep these thoughts in mind. Resist the feeling of panic. Resist the feeling of panic. Our prayer is this. Our prayer is this. I want to read this, and I want you to read it with me. Okay? God, give me the spirit of endurance through all the phases of life, early, mid, and late, that I might not lose heart, no matter what my journey brings. I will not walk in fear, but in faith in you. I will keep my eyes on you, the author and finisher of my faith. Now, this will be a first for us. We will say this together. Okay? Follow me. God, give me the spirit of endurance through all phases of life, early, mid, and late, that I might not lose heart. No matter what my journey brings, I will not walk in fear, but by faith in you. I will keep my eyes on you, the author and finisher of my faith. Oh, you guys get a hand. Good job. Way to be. The spirit of endurance. A.W. Tozer has this in closing. Let me share this with you. A closing thought on those who have the spirit of endurance. This is out of his Knowledge of the Holy. Any intensified knowledge of God, which you have just had, an intensified knowledge of God, you have been given information, okay? Intensified knowledge of God will soon begin to affect those around us in the Christian community. And we must speak purposefully to share our increasing light with the fellow members of the household of God. Now, the spirit of endurance rubs off on other Christians. You're making it. It allows them to make it. Your strength allows them to be strong. They see you. They can make it too. It rubs off. We are in community together. This we can best do by keeping the majesty of God in full focus in all of our public services. Not only our private prayers should be filled with God, by our witnessing, our singing, our preaching, our writing should center around the person of our holy, holy Lord and extol continually the greatness of his dignity and power. Anytime we get together, that is the goal. The focus is the glory and majesty of God. There is a glorified man, Jesus, on the right hand of the majesty in heaven, faithfully representing us here. Now listen to this statement. We are left for a season among men. Let us faithfully represent him here. You hear your commission? Let me say this again. We are left for a season among men. Let us faithfully represent him here with a spirit of endurance. We will not quit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to delve into your word. I thank you for all the men and women that have gone before us, 70 million and counting, that have died for the cause. Men and women of boldness, men and women of strength that you strengthened at that moment for their journey. Father, give us the spirit of endurance no matter what comes down the pike, that we are people that will seek you, love you, honor you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we will seek your will, not my will, your way, but not my way. May our lives bring honor and glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And one day soon, you're coming to get us, Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.